This is the old, old Good Morning Man Kermit Edney with program number 108 in a series of 260 programs that deal with the history of the past 50 years, the WHKP years since 1946. The happenings, the people who made things happen. A final comment about my friend Jimmy Fain and the legacy left for generations to come, and some remembrances of the man who had a school named for him. Back in the early 1960s, when Jimmy Fain was battling back from a series of surgical procedures, no one would ever have dreamed that he would outlive his wife, Tommy. After all, Thomasina Shepherd Fain was 4 years younger than Jimmy. She was in good health, and during his more serious sickness, Tommy was only in her very early 50s. Jimmy had retired as editor of the paper in 1971 and was 2 years along on his book when Tommy died. After her death, Jimmy became even more obsessed about finishing the book, which would be published in 1980, 1 year before he passed away.
I went to see my doctor recently, and I told him that if we could publish this book and get it on the way, that I was perfectly willing to lay down the next day and take the count.
On April 4th, 1979, a signal honor was given to Jimmy Fain. A bronze bust created by James Spratt was presented to the Henderson County Library in his honor. Jim's nephew, George, emceed the event, and I was privileged to be on the program with the great Frank Fitzsimmons, whose bust already dominated the center section of that historical room. There was also Meade Parse, Ben Handelman, who was a senior vice president of the New York Times, and Morris Kaplan, chairman of the library trustees. In connection, Morris made acceptance remark. At that point, Jimmy said,
"But having lived in these mountains more than 50 years, I am now on the verge of being accepted by these people. It was this admiration that caused me to approach George and Meade 2 years after my retirement with the idea of doing a weekly piece that would perhaps express that admiration and at the same time record something of the past for the future."
While I suppose every great leader of Henderson County over the past 50 years can't have their bronze bust on display in the library, I would say Bruce Drysdale certainly deserved having one. I used to make the comment in jest back in the 40s and 50s, but there was more truth than humor in the statement, that Bruce Drysdale was the only man in Henderson County that could afford to drive a new Cadillac and not have a resentful and jealous audience watch him drive by. The public service record of Bruce Drysdale is for anybody to see. He was president of the Chamber of Commerce when they were successful in getting construction of the famed Skyland Hotel building. He served on that chamber board most of his life, served 25 years, at times chairman of the Hendersonville City School Board. The Drysdale Elementary School is named for him. He had a leadership role in Kiwanis Club, the Flat Rock Playhouse, Western North Carolina Junior Achievement. But to show you the true greatness of Bruce Drysdale, let me, as Paul Harvey would say, let me tell you the rest of the story. When Bruce Drysdale came to Hendersonville in 1918, he and George N. Moland formed the Moland Drysdale Brick Corporation. Mr. Moland was about 30 years older than Mr. Drysdale, and at the age of 77, Mr. Moland died in 1936. Mr. Drysdale made a very generous settlement with his widow, Jean Williamson Moland, for her husband's interest. Now, it's a matter of record that when a wife becomes a wealthy widow, charities and benevolences will quickly find a path to her door. And Mrs. Moland was such a caring and generous person, she couldn't say no to anybody. And within a few short years, she had given away all of her money. Mr. Drysdale had observed her experiences, and he quietly, with no fanfare, simply stepped in and provided her income for a comfortable living the rest of her life, and she lived to be 89. And long before recycling and the environment became hot topics, Frank Todd had developed the idea to convert the old clay pits used for brickmaking out at Etowah into a showplace golf community. Drysdale was enthusiastic, but with the understanding that all the land which surrounded the course and owned by former employees would be left with the employees, and that they would be advised of the company's plans so that they could also benefit from the long-range investment of the company. Bruce Drysdale, he left some sort of memory with a seventh child who was lucky enough to have been born here the good sense never to leave, and with a job he's loved all of his life. Sursum corda as we approach the next 50 years.